Hawaii has a goal of generating 100% of our electricity needs from renewable sources by 2045. But our most abundant renewable resource, solar, varies seasonally and throughout the day. To counter that unpredictability, Hawaii's utilities plan to use batteries to store excess power for when it's not being generated. But a source of power that is reliable 24/7 will still be needed. Researchers at the University of Hawaii think that geothermal could be part of the solution. Ted Brennis is a graduate student working at the Hawaii Groundwater and Geothermal Resource Center. He recently presented research exploring the cost-effectiveness of geothermal in Hawaii compared to other renewable sources and spoke about it with HPR's Ryan Finnerty.
Currently, the state is not getting any geothermal energy. The plants, the state's one functioning geothermal plant, stopped operating in May 2018. It was the Puna Geothermal Venture, PGV. They stopped operating because of the Leilani Estates eruption. Prior to that, PGV was providing about a quarter of the Big Island's energy needs. The Hawaiian Electric Power Supply Improvement Plan is the Hawaiian Electric's plan to get the state to 100% renewables by 2045. There's several versions in that plan, but the most of the versions call for a pretty modest amount of geothermal. Most versions have about 80 megawatts of a geothermal energy being installed between now and 2045.
What does 80 megawatts work out to in terms of total percentage?
So right now, I think the state uses about 2,000 megawatts. Like, that's what we need to generate to kind of keep all the lights on. It's probably a little bit more than that. So 80 megawatts is a pretty small chunk. Like I said, prior to PGV shutting down, it was providing a quarter of the Big Island's energy needs, which is, that's pretty significant. What's interesting is that we don't really know how much geothermal energy potential there is in the state. There's been some studies. One study done by Geothermics in 2000 estimate that there could be as much as 1,500 megawatts of geothermal potential across the state. So it's just largely on characters. We don't really know across the other islands how much there could be.
1,500, so that's 75% of the estimated 2,000 total that the state's using. So that's pretty significant.
Yeah, potentially that could, that 1,500 could meet, at least now, three quarters of the state's energy demands.
And so where is the rest of it coming from, especially if we're going to be relying heavily on solar, which everybody kind of knows only works at certain times of the day? It kind of fluctuates in terms of output based on the cloud cover and the time of day and everything. What's the rest of that plan look like?
Yeah, so I mean, baseload energy is one of the biggest issues with renewables. Solar resources and wind resources can't provide baseload energy at some point through the day, or because the seasoned wind and solar resources don't generate any electricity. So the answer to that, at least in large part in the power supply improvement plan, is battery storage. So there's something like 3,000 megawatts of battery storage planned for the state over the next 25 years, which is a ton. That's a lot of battery storage. And that's how I think HECO is planning to answer that baseload energy problem. How do we feed people? How do we give people energy that they need, the energy that they need when they need it, when we're using resources that aren't working all the time?
And that's kind of how you began looking at geothermal and comparing the output and the cost and everything of geothermal energy versus wind and solar and some of these more widely used renewable sources. And what did you find?
Yeah, the geothermal, when it stacks up against other renewables, it's pretty competitive. I mean, geothermal power plants have really low land use. Puna Geothermal Venture sits on about 45 acres and has an installed capacity of 38 megawatts. So that comes out to a little over an acre per megawatt, which is really good. Solar resources generally occupy 5 to 10 acres per installed megawatt. Wind resources they fluctuate between 30 and 100 some acres per megawatt. So as far as land use goes, geothermal is really, really good. And when it comes to providing baseload energy, like I said, wind and solar resources can't provide baseload, but geothermal in the state does provide baseload energy. We can turn it on or turn it off whenever we need it to provide energy as folks need to use it.
Is there any way in which geothermal is not competitive compared to wind and solar, either in terms of developing the resource or actually installing the infrastructure?
Yeah, all the renewables and every resource in general, there's hazards and drawbacks to them. geothermal is not without its drawbacks and hazards. One of the biggest concerns is blowouts. Blowouts are uncontrolled, unplanned venting of hydrothermal fluids in the atmosphere. The big concern with blowouts is the release of hydrogen sulfide, which quickly gets converted into sulfur dioxide and can cause acid rain. And hydrogen sulfide is toxic above certain levels, so, and it smells like rotten eggs, so it's unpleasant. So that's a concern, and there have been blowouts in PGB's history. There are rare occurrences, but they do happen. Drilling is also an invasive, expensive thing to do, and you need to do that to develop a geothermal resource, so that can be a problem. Geothermal resources can be noisy. PGV has had some issues with noise complaints in the past, so that's a problem as well. But again, no renewable energy resource is perfect. Solar resources, they require a lot of raw materials. You need to mine very high-grade quartz to get purified silicon to make solar wafers, and that's an energy-intensive, chemically-intensive process. You got to pit mine usually to get quartz to mine or to create solar panels. Wind resources require a ton of cement. I think each 2-megawatt wind turbine requires something like 700 tons of concrete, and concrete releases CO2, so there's a carbon footprint associated with wind resources as well. So no resource is perfect, but overall I think my research at least has shown that geothermal is competitive, and I think it's a good option that needs to be explored further in Hawaii.
How does it compare in terms of cost? So the electricity produced by a geothermal plant versus electricity produced by a solar farm or a wind farm, how does it break down in terms of expense?
That's a tough question to answer. So it varies by power plant. They negotiate. Like a power plant, when HECO agrees to buy power from a power facility, they negotiate on what that rate's going to be, so it changes. Overall, in terms of capital costs for making power plants, the Power Supply Improvement Plan has some really good cost projections that were prepared by the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. These cost estimates are pretty reliable. They're localized. They're for Hawaii. And when you look at those numbers, they actually show that geothermal is competitive in terms of cost as well, particularly when you look at the necessity of battery storage. Like wind and solar resources, to have the same capabilities as a geothermal resource, to provide baseload energy, they need battery storage. And that's, like I said, the Power Supply Improvement Plan has a ton of battery storage in there. So when you look at that, when you look at the necessity of battery storage, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory and HECO both show that geothermal has pretty competitive costs, so it can be affordable as well.
So geothermal has a lower land requirement, and it can be more productive in terms of electricity on that smaller land requirement, but it needs to be located in an area that has this geothermal resource. And you mentioned earlier there's only one plant in the state in Puna. So is it realistic for planning purposes to think that we could have geothermal energy production in other parts of Hawaii?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the bottom line is that we don't really know. It's not well characterized. We've explored Kilauea East Rift Zone pretty thoroughly, and we know that there are viable resources in Kilauea East Rift Zone. Across the rest of Hawaii Island and across Maui, we think there's some geothermal potential as well, but we don't know exactly what that is. And I think that's the key. We need to better characterize the potential across the rest of the state so we can plan effectively.
And your paper points out another interesting little quirk, that the solar industry actually receives public subsidies, so it gets tax credits. Geothermal, at least in Hawaii, actually pays taxes to the state. It's taxed for extracting the resource.
Yeah, the solar industry in particular has been heavily subsidized. The biggest subsidy has come from the Hawaii Renewable Energy Technology Income Tax Credit. At least that's the biggest one that I could find. And between 2011 and 2016, something like $670 million in tax credits were claimed by Hawaii residents through that tax credit. In contrast to that, the Puna Geothermal Venture has been paying royalties to the state because geothermal resources are considered a mineral resource and they have to pay royalties. So over the course, I think from 2007 to 2018, PGV has paid the state a little over $24 million in royalties. So solar has cost taxpayers money. You know, it's been subsidized. And in contrast, geothermal has been a source of revenue for the state.
And so at the end of the day, we're shooting to make this 2045 goal of 100% renewable energy. What do you think the role of geothermal should be in that portfolio?
I think we need to maximize every available resource we have. And that's a tough question to answer. I mean, we got to figure out how much potential there is. I mean, the bottom line is that we live very energy intensive lives. Every time we get in the car to go to the grocery store when we could walk, or every time we fly to the mainland to visit our family or have another kid, we are guzzling energy. And unless we want to dramatically change our lifestyles, we're going to need to take advantage of every resource we can get. And I think geothermal has great potential to provide baseload energy to the state, and we can't afford to not explore that thoroughly.
All right, Ted Brennis, thanks for your time today.
Thanks. Good talking with you.
Ted Brennis is a graduate student working with the Hawaii Groundwater and Geothermal Resource Center. We'll have a link to his research exploring the cost effectiveness of geothermal energy in Hawaii and a fact sheet on renewable energy from the State Energy Office posted on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.